Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The battle for churches continues. We're going to be talking about a great victory at the U.S. Supreme Court. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, Holly, this whole battle against these draconian, tyrannical orders the governors have imposed has been going on for months. Who would have ever thought that we would face what we face now in the United States of America? But we are now seeing, I believe, light at the end of the tunnel. In our case at the U.S. Supreme Court, on behalf of Harvest Rock Church and its various campuses and Harvest International Ministry with its 162 affiliate churches, we have great news with the Supreme Court setting aside these bad rulings below. In the lower court at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, we had a 2-1 decision. Very weak against us, the two people, very weak reasoning, and a great solid dissent. Judge O'Scanlan hit the ball out of the park in the dissent. He is right on, and the Supreme Court has now sided with him in this particular case. So this is a great vindication for the First Amendment. The case now goes back down to the lower court with the instructions from the U.S. Supreme Court to reconsider its wrong ruling, frankly, in light of what the Supreme Court did in the New York case involving churches and synagogues.
You know, it's been exciting, Matt. I mean, we've sued 7 governors, and now we're seeing the fruition of the prayers and the long hours and the work starting to come. I mean, we also had a victory in Kentucky with that church that was being discriminated against. And
in that particular church, let me pause for that one just for a second. That's
okay.
a man who's in his mid-70s. Mm-hmm. And he had never missed a church service in his life, he said. And in Kentucky, there was a no worship order at the time, not even allowing parking lot services. And he just realized and he knew that church was essential, and he couldn't abide by that. So he ultimately had an Easter service, and that's where this whole problem began. They began coming after him. They gave the people in the cars and the pastor these notices of quarantine. For 14 days, they had to quarantine. Well, they didn't have any symptoms, no problems. They just went to a parking lot service.
Sitting in their car, listening to the service, and they were giving quarantine.
We filed suit. We lost. We appealed it. We won 3-0. We got 2 3-0 wins at the Court of Appeals. But this particular pastor, and this is where I wanted to mention him, is he stood up because he knew what was right. Mm-hmm. And this was early on. And he got heat from fellow pastors that said, look, we're closed. We're online. You ought to do this online. You're hurting the community. You're risking people. You're not being a good witness. And this particular pastor stood against all the opposition, against the governor, against some other pastors that were criticizing him, so much so that when we asked for a friend that we knew to be our local counsel in Kentucky, we do all the litigation, but we need local counsel in a state where we don't have a license there. We associate another local counsel. As soon as we said Maryville Baptist Church, he said, oh, no, call me again on any other case. Well, you know what? That man doesn't have his name now on a 3-0 precedential opinion.
Right.
Because he was reading the tea leaves of the media.
Right.
And buying all the nonsense. And he didn't want to be associated with somebody who was risking people, going against the governor's orders, not being a good witness, all the different things that people said back then. And you know what? As a result of this man's stand, every pastor in every church in Kentucky got freedom.
But you know, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, the media, their job, the mainstream media, has been spreading lies, creating fear in people, and it's just, you know, ballooned. And so even these Christians, even these pastors you were talking about, are fearful and they're afraid of the government, whereas the government was created to protect the church.
Yeah, you know, Romans 13, even John MacArthur used Romans 13 in a May message. But then in a June, July message, he changed his mind. Mm-hmm. Romans 13 says that the governments are created by God, ordained by God, and that they are there to punish the evildoer and protect the good.
And remember a verse, now this is Christmas time, in Hosea, the government is on his shoulders.
Yeah.
It's on Christ's shoulders.
And when the government tells you to do something contrary to what God tells you, you have the passage where Jesus says, render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but render to God what belongs to God. The church does not belong to Caesar.
Right.
And so when the government starts punishing the good and protecting the evil, that's exactly what they're doing. Then there's a real problem. And what they're doing is punishing people who want to worship, but then saying that liquor stores, marijuana dispensaries, and abortion clinics where they're killing children are essential activities and they can operate with no problem. But you people who want to worship, you have to stay home. You know, that is flipping it around. That's when the government is not doing its rule that it should. And in fact, that's exactly what the Declaration of Independence said, that the governments are instituted so that they can protect pre-existing God-given freedoms.
Right.
Liberty, life.
And the founders were very wise. They knew what human nature was like. They knew the greediness, the evilness that happens with human nature. So they created those, you know, documents to prevent what's happening right now.
Exactly. And so now what we have is we've litigated these. We've won some. We've lost some. There's a case that we have pending at the U.S. Supreme Court still. We've been to the Supreme Court, by the way, Holly, three times this year. Three times with three churches.
And a Romanian church, we're still waiting to hear from that one,
and
right?
We have the Romanian church case up there still waiting. That will ultimately be addressed by the Supreme Court soon. And this particular case that we just have a great victory on comes out of California. And California has the worst restrictions of any place in the country. And that is no worship for 99.1% of Californians. It's criminal to worship. You can have
according
liquor
to
stores.
Newsom.
According to Newsom, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not criminal to worship in God's sight. It's
no.
Criminal according to Newsom.
Right.
Criminal. Criminal. Imagine that. Criminal. It's absolutely unbelievable. That
potential
you would
of going to prison, for going to church or having
to church.
A church for a pastor. Yeah.
And we're not talking about 2,000 people packed in a room like sardines. We're talking about one person or two people in a church to worship. We're talking about having somebody in your home who's a neighbor, next door, apartment dweller, condo dweller, in your home that doesn't live there.
Having a Bible study.
Having a Bible study, mm-hmm. And that's criminal.
According to him.
That's Governor Newsom. So anyway, where we are is the court ultimately did the right thing at the Supreme Court, got a great victory. Lots of media throughout the country have been following this particular case. And this really sets the tone, because now the Supreme Court in the New York churches and synagogues, they've said that it's enough time passed for us to resolve these things and that there's no world in which you can allow liquor stores but ban churches. And yet that's what we've seen happening. Then in our case, they set aside these rulings below. They've given directions to the court and they have telegraphed what they ought to do. So we're back in the courts in California to ultimately permanently block this draconian restriction by the governor in the entire state of California. We're going to be moving ahead in all of our other cases that are pending. We have them in Kentucky and Maine and Virginia, Colorado, and other places as well that we're litigating. Illinois, of course, is still pending, like you said, right, at the U.S. Supreme Court.
When it all started back in Florida with our pastor who was arrested for having church, and then this just exploded after that.
Yeah.
But you see that God's plan is for his church and for protection and for religious freedom for his people, and that's what he will see prevail.
Yeah, and so it's, you know, we've been sounding the alarm since the beginning. We thank you for praying. Mm-hmm. And for standing with us. I know at the very beginning we got pushback from some people saying, oh, you're going to risk people. Look, these are pastors and churches.
They love
their
family.
People,
right?
They love them and they care for them more than some government bureaucrat that rips off these executive orders and says essential are abortion clinics and liquor stores and marijuana dispensaries, but not churches. You know, these people love their flock. And worship is not only a right, but it's an obligation to be able to worship our Lord. And this is America. Standing for freedom is the right thing to do. Thanks for standing with us. For more information, you can go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org/churches, lc.org/churches.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776, lc.org.